Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. First of all, let me apologize to our great JTFers for the fact that the program ASJTF is running a little late this week. I usually try to get the program out by Sunday night. But unfortunately, this week it's running late because there were just so many things that came up. I don't even want to give you the laundry list of all the things that I had to do, and I just couldn't get to the program on time. Aside from the fact that there were a lot of things that were happening in Israel in terms of our campaign to wake the people of Israel up after the kidnapping of three innocent Jewish teenagers. So we were very busy with all types of things we're doing in Israel. But on top of that, then I saw a thread on the English forum from the great Irish Zionist. The great Irish Zionist put up a thread, and in the thread he pointed out that the official Fatah terrorist Facebook page had a cartoon of the three innocent kidnapped Israeli Jewish teenagers and showed the three kidnapped teenagers as rats, portrayed them as rats, and was mocking and laughing at the kidnapped Jewish teenagers. And so I realized that it would be important that we do videos on this subject. So I did an English video and a Hebrew video. And I had to, of course, do the video, and that takes time, and upload it. It actually takes a lot of time doing all of this. Upload it to Facebook and to our Facebook pages, and then upload it on YouTube. And it actually is pretty time-consuming, but I felt it was important that we get this out right away because the anti-Semitic Israeli media is not reporting on the fact that the Fatah terrorists are praising the kidnapping, supporting the kidnapping, and supporting all the acts of terrorism. The Fatah terrorists are behind all of the acts of terrorism. And this isn't being reported, so we wanted to show this because the anti-Semitic Israeli media is hiding this. As far as the anti-Semitic media outside of Israel, in the United States, Europe, and around the world, the world media is trying to ignore the kidnapping of the three Jewish teenagers. You hardly see any mention of it in the American news media and in the other Jew-hating news media outside of Israel. So outside of Israel, it's not even a story, really. It's not a big story. In Israel, they can't ignore it. It is the number one story, of course. But they always try to cover up the evil, heinous Nazi hatred of the Jewish people from all of the Arab terrorist organizations. There is no difference between any of the Arab terrorists. All of the Arab terrorists and all of the Arab leaders are committed to the destruction of Israel and to genocide against the Jewish people. So I thought it was important that we do this video. And so the video did go up. We did a Hebrew video and an English video. The Hebrew video is already getting a lot of views and a lot of response on Facebook. We did a Hebrew video and an English video showing the cartoon on the official Fatah terrorist Facebook page. You know that the Fatah terrorist mass murderers are allowed to have a Facebook page. All the Muslim terrorist organizations, they're allowed to have Facebook pages. And on their Facebook pages, they can put all of the Nazi Jew-hating filth that they want, and they're never touched by Facebook. The same thing, of course, happens on YouTube. The same thing happens everywhere. Because it's open season on the Jewish people. These sites, which are owned by Jews, are anti-Semitic sites. The Jewish anti-Semites, like Zuckerman, who owned Facebook, who has the biggest stake in Facebook and was the founder of Facebook, these Jewish created and Jewish-owned sites are the most anti-Semitic sites you can find. And so we did a video where we showed not only the cartoon where the three kidnapped Jewish kids are being portrayed as rats, but we mentioned that Bibi Netanyahu gave 97% of Hebron. Hebron is Hebron in English. Hebron, after Jerusalem, is the second holiest city in the world for the Jewish people. It's the city of our forefathers. It's the city where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the matriarchs of the Jewish people are all buried. And Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud gave 97% of Hebron to the Arab terrorists. He surrendered Hebron to the Arab terrorists, 97% of Hebron. And so now, from Hebron, these Arab terrorists are committing acts of terrorism. It's from Hebron that they kidnapped. The terrorists from Hebron kidnapped these three Jewish Israeli teenagers. And of course, even though Bibi denounces the terrorism and denounces Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas for his role in all of this, nevertheless, he still gives them and hasn't stopped for one second giving them free electricity, free water, free food, free medicine, free education, free housing. Things that Jews never get. Jews never get any of those things for free. But Bibi gives that, Bibi and the Likud give that to all the enemies of the Jewish people. And everyone in his government supports giving that to all the enemies of the Jewish people. We're the only ones that would cut all of that off, cut off all the goodies. And so the Arabs would be starving. Israel's obligated to give free, all these free things to her enemies? We would cut it off right away. They'd be starving if this was cut off. And they would all want to leave. Then we would arrange for them to leave the land of Israel with compensation. If they don't have links to terrorism, if they have links to terrorism, they're going to get a different. They're not going to be allowed to leave. We're going to deal with them and deal with them very harshly. But if they're not linked to terrorism, if they're not officially linked to terrorism, the Arabs, almost all the Arabs support the terrorists. But if they don't actually have criminal records of having been linked, or any official proof that they've been linked, we will give them compensation to leave. And they'll want to leave. If they're not getting all these goodies, all these benefits, they'll want to leave. So anyway, so we pointed out just some of the terrible things that Bibi Netanyahu has done. We pointed that out in the Hebrew and English videos. We're going to be doing, God willing, we're going to be doing much, far more exposés on this. Aside from giving them free electricity, free water, free food, free everything to all the enemies of Israel, paid for by the Israeli taxpayers, Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud freed 1,027 Muslim terrorist mass murderers in exchange for the leftist soldier Gilad Shalit. 1,027 Muslim terrorists were released for one left-wing soldier. Obviously, this encouraged the kidnapping of these three Israeli Jewish kids. Of course, the Muslim terrorists openly said so. They said we're going to kidnap and get all the other Muslim terrorists out of Israeli prisons. The only answer, of course, is to execute all of the Muslim Nazi terrorist prisoners. They should all be executed. If they were all executed, there'd be nothing to bargain over. And to begin an aggressive program to get the Arabs out of Israel. If we had a government that did that, we would never have this problem to begin with. The Jews would be safe in their own land. Maybe Barack Hussein Obama wouldn't like it, and maybe the UN wouldn't like it, and maybe CNN wouldn't like it, but they don't like Israel anyway, even with all the appeasement and all the insanity, and even when Israel's committing suicide, they're all against Israel anyway. So they'd still be against us, so what? We wouldn't have much to lose, and we'd have everything to gain. I just want to make one other note, by the way, on Gilad Shalit, the Israeli left-wing Israeli soldier and his evil left-wing family, that from the minute he was kidnapped, and he was kidnapped because he was negligent and he fell asleep when he was supposed to be doing guard duty, he fell asleep. I mean, it was all his fault. And we're supposed to free over a thousand terrorists to get him out after he does this. And his family, you know, his family was running around accusing everybody. You don't want to free all the terrorists. You're giving a death sentence to Gilad Shalit by not doing this. Look at the difference between Gilad Shalit's family, his left-wing, evil, anti-religious family, and the three Jewish religious families, the three families of these three religious Jewish teenagers that were kidnapped. The three Jewish religious families are not demanding that Israel free all the terrorists. They're not running around screaming and yelling, you have to free every single terrorist. They're saying, please pray for us. Please pray for our children to come home. That's all they're saying to the media, please pray for us. And huge prayers are being organized by religious Jews in Israel on their behalf. And Jews should, of course, pray for their safe return. But look at the difference between the religious families say, pray for us. Gilad Shalit's evil left-wing family right away said, you should empty all the prisons and free thousands of terrorists, whatever it takes, whatever they demand, immediately give in to all of their demands. Look at the difference between moral, religious, righteous, upright Jews, like the religious Jews in Judea and Samaria, and this left-wing schmutz, this left-wing filth that pollutes the land of Israel, that they once something happens to one of them, they're ready to empty, they want to empty all the prisons anyway. They always want to give in to all the Arab terrorist demands. Look at the difference between these two different groups of the Jewish people, between the good Jews and the evil, self-hating Jews. Hopefully we'll be doing video. We didn't mention all that in the video because the video was a short video, but hope maybe in the future we will be mentioning that. As I mentioned earlier, we also did a video this week on Eric Cantor, who, Baruch Hashem, was defeated by a Tea Party opponent. And Eric Cantor he's a self-hating Jew who supports the so-called two-state solution, which is national suicide for Israel. Of course, it's not a two-state solution. It's a 67-state solution, because the Muslims already have 66 countries. The Jews have just one country. So they basically, what this solution does is create a 67th Muslim country, because 66 Muslim countries is not enough for the Muslims. One tiny little Jewish state is too much for the Jews, but 66 Muslim countries with 3,000 times as much land. The Muslims have 3,000 times as much land in these 66 countries as tiny Israel. The Muslims have 3,000 times as much land as the Jews, and everybody's demanding that the Jews give up the little land that they have, including the self-hating Jews. They're the first ones to make this demand. Eric Cantor believes in this insane creation of a so-called Palestine state. And he pushes for foreign aid for Israel and for all of Israel's enemies. He was a disaster. And he was pushing for amnesty for illegal aliens, which would be the end of the United States. The third world illegal aliens would take over the United States. You'd have 20 million new left-wing Democrat voters. If you give amnesty to the 20 million illegal aliens, that's 20 million new left-wing Democrat voters. There's no way you will ever have a decent president or anyone decent on the national level ever elected again. America will permanently be like New York and California and other left-wing places where you have a permanent left-wing majority. If that happens, that's the end of America. That's the end of the United States. And Eric Cantor promised that he was going to bring this up this year and push for this bill. Thank God he was defeated. Hopefully we'll be speaking in future weeks about other campaigns and other people that deserve to be defeated. Mitch McConnell, I hope this November, I hope that Mitch McConnell is defeated. And I hope that Tad Cochran is defeated in the Mississippi Senate primary runoff on June 24th. So we did a video on that as well this week. And we did two more English videos that you haven't seen yet that are ready. Already, but we had so many things come up that we haven't even put them out yet, these two English videos. These two English videos are on Bo Bergdahl, the whole Bo Bergdahl scandal. We got two more great videos that Shlomo did on Bo Bergdahl that hopefully, I hope we'll get a chance to put it out this week. So it's been a very busy week for us. Yes, our Hebrew movement has grown much more than usual this week because of the tragedy of the kidnapping of the three Jewish teenagers. When you have tragedies like this, more Jews turn to us. We don't want to grow because of things like this. We don't want this to be the reason that we grow. Of course, we're going to try to wake the Jewish people up with whatever incident happens. We're going to grab that incident and try to wake the Jewish people up to save Jews. But we would, of course, much prefer to grow for positive things. We never want to grow at the expense of the Jewish people. But it just so happens that when things like this happen, it does, more people do turn to us, and it leads to a much more rapid growth in our movement. That's just the way things work. We are now at a point where we're 3 months, it's been 3 months since we've been advertising on Facebook, on our Facebook Hebrew page. on our largest Facebook Hebrew page. 3 months now we've been advertising on that page, since mid-March, and it's now mid-June. We had 1,830 likes. Likes are in effect members. We had 1,830 members on our Hebrew Facebook page in mid-March. 1,830. Now, 3 months later, the last time I looked, we had 9,207. 9,207. We went from over 1,800 to over 9,200 in 3 months. How many of you expected us to make that type of rapid progress so fast? I didn't expect it, that's for sure. It's just, it's incredible. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, that our Hebrew movement is growing at such a rapid pace. If we continue to grow at this pace, then we're going to have tens of thousands of people in the near future, God willing. But it's urgent that we grow before it's too late, that we grow fast before it's too late, because you see all these catastrophes that's come up, and we're not there to warn the Jews and alert the Jews and bring up the important points that Jews should think about so that they, you know, when we're not around, all the important lessons that Jews should be learning from these events, then the lessons and the facts are never brought to their attention. And so the Jewish people don't wake up, despite the fact that they're facing all of these catastrophes. They don't wake up because you need somebody there. You need somebody there to bring the facts to the Jewish people and wake them up and educate them. That's the role that we have to play at this critical time. And so we're racing against the clock. We have over 9,200 members. We want to have 40,000, 50,000, 100,000 members. And that's going to take time. And time is not something we have. So we're racing against the clock. It's not easy. But that's what we're doing. Of course, going to urge you to do everything you can to help us, because you do help us. When you participate, when you join in, you help us. You help us reach more people. There are four things that I'm going to ask you to do, as we do all the time. There are four things I'm going to ask you to do to help us. Number one, to pray for our success. Please pray for the return, by the way, of those Israeli Jewish teenagers, for their safe return, without Israel doing something stupid or humiliating or damaging. Let's pray for their safe return, God willing. And of course, pray for our movement to succeed. We've got many important things we're going to be doing in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We've got important things we're doing. Please pray for us. Please keep us in your prayers. What we're doing is so important. We're the only voice of truth on most of the issues. The only voice of real, uncompromising truth. That's number one. We need your prayers. Number two, when you see us put up videos, whether they're in English or in Hebrew, please like and share those videos on Facebook. And please like, favorite, and mirror those videos on YouTube. It helps us with the Facebook search engine. It helps us with the YouTube search engine. And the stronger the videos are on Facebook and on YouTube, it even helps us with the Google search engine and with the other search engines as well. So please like and share on Facebook, like, favorite, and mirror on YouTube. If the video is in English, the video is in Hebrew, doesn't matter. Help us. Help us with this. It does make a difference. That's the second thing that we need your help with. So we have prayers as the first thing, video helping us promote the video is the second thing. Third thing, on the forum and on the Facebook pages, we need good threads and good posts. When you make good threads and good posts, you attract people to our movement. It's important. Please help us with that. And no fighting or pettiness or silliness. We want to present human beings are human beings. We're never going to have perfection. When you have human beings, you're always going to have some problem here and there. But let's present an intelligent, mature, attractive, inviting face to the public so that more people will want to join our forum and our Facebook pages. That's the third thing. And the fourth and final thing that we need your help with, and really the most important thing in many ways, it's the most important thing. The other things are just as important. But if we had more money, we would be able to race toward those huge numbers of Israelis that we want to reach on a regular basis, we'd be able to race toward that very quickly if we had more money. So we urgently need your financial support. We've increased our advertising. We've stepped up our advertising. It's costing us a lot of money. I don't want to give you the exact budget that we're spending right now. I don't want to give you the exact amount because, unfortunately, we have enemies of ours that watch everything we do. But it's not cheap. We have an extensive campaign. For us, it's not cheap. By the way, for a big organization, it would be nothing what we're spending. It would be a joke. What we're spending would be a joke for a big organization. But for us, everything is a big expense because we don't have a lot of money. We have a very modest budget. So every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box does make a big difference. It really does. Some people prefer sending the checks, money orders, and cash donations to the post office box. Other people prefer doing it online with their credit card, which you can do by going to the donate button on the Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. There's a donate button in English on the top, and you can do it conveniently with your credit card through PayPal. We need your help. We all have to participate. This is a really critical time. This is a time when we're in the middle of our campaign to become bigger, and you see us growing. You see the progress. You see it with your own eyes on a weekly basis. 3 months now, we're at over 9,200 members on the Hebrew Facebook page. Of course, we also have members on our English Facebook pages. We need your help. We need your help to make faster progress because we're racing against the clock. We're racing against the clock, and we want to become big enough and strong enough in time to save Israel from possible catastrophe in the future, God forbid. Okay, now let's get to our questions from our great JTFers. I know I took a lot of time this week, but it's just one of those super... I didn't cover all the things I'd like to cover, but it's just a very, very busy week. All right, let's start off with the great wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what are your thoughts on these creatures? Johnny Knoxville. Okay, we have four different groups here. Johnny Knoxville, I don't know much about him. I know he's a stunt man. I know he does stunts, but I don't know much about him other than that. So I can't really comment on him. Lauren Conrad, she's a reality TV personality. I don't know much about her either, but I can't stand reality TV. Reality TV is cruel, it's phony, it's immoral. It's done terrible things to people. It teaches people to be cruel and immoral and evil. And she's very much involved with reality TV. So I can't imagine that there's anything good coming out of that because everything I know about reality TV is terrible. And then Wandering Samurai asks about New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block is a boy band from the 1980s. I don't like these boy bands and these other... I mean, you know, it's just... I just think that the culture is so depraved today. And these groups are so untalented. I mean, I don't want to insult anybody, but... You know, the music that I grew up with in the 60s and 70s, a lot of it was degenerate and decadent and terrible. But at least the people in the 60s and 70s, the musicians were talented. And even some of them in the 80s. There was some talent there. I don't see any real talent today. And New Kids on the Block, I don't think that they're talented. And we now go to... And now Wandering Samurai asks about Paul Wall. Paul Wall is a white rapper. A white person who imitates blacks, who imitates ghetto blacks. Now, rap is the downfall of culture. It's the downfall of Western culture and Western civilization. It's people acting like a bunch of criminals in a jungle, and white people want to imitate this. I think it's disgusting. It sickens me. That's my opinion. Anyway, thank you, Wandering Samurai, and we now go to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. What do you think of Hillary Clinton's book? Can you curse her? Thanks. Oh, with pleasure, I'll curse her. Yimach shma v'zichra shem reshayim Yirkav, which means may her name and memory be obliterated, and may the name of the memory of the, may the memory of the wicked rot. In her book, by the way, I noticed some people on our, one person on our forum posted something. He meant well, but he posted something from the propaganda of the news media about how Hillary Clinton is supposedly pretending to be pro-Israel in her book. The opposite is true. She's viciously anti-Israel in the book. She writes about Israel being an occupying force. She writes that Israel denies dignity and self-determination to the so-called Palestinians. There are no Palestinians. The Arabs invented this to commit genocide, to commit a Holocaust against the Jewish people. And she says they have, the Israelis are denying dignity and self-determination, and complains about Israel's occupation. I mean, it's the most vicious anti-Semitic book. She is such a Jew hater. She was always a vicious Jew hater. Her mother married a Jew. Her mother's second husband was a Jew. It's not Hillary's father, it's Hillary's stepfather. And she hated him. She hated this self-hating Jew who married outside the Jewish faith. You know, the intermarried Jews, how self-hating they are. How they're not likable people. You know, people who are self-hating, who don't have any self-respect, are never going to get respect from anyone else. You can't get respect from anyone else if you have no self-respect. Her mother married a Jew, and Hillary hated this Jew. And maybe that's the reason she's such a vicious anti-Semite all these years. But in her book, she continues with her vicious anti-Semitic rants against Israel. It's obvious she wants to destroy Israel. She always did. She always did. She always will. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we now go to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Your opinion on the group Americans for a Safe Israel, they seem to be against the so-called two-state solution," unquote. They are against a so-called two-state solution. They're not bad people. They're not bad Jews. I know some of the people in the group, and they're good Jews. They, unfortunately, I think that a lot of things they say are not helpful. They speak about a Palestinian people, and they praise Israeli leaders and do other things that I think are not helpful. But sometimes they criticize. Sometimes they criticize the leaders. Sometimes they praise the leaders. I think that there are good Jews in the group, but they're not the answer for the Jewish people. That's for sure. That is not going to, you know, this unwillingness to really say that these Jewish leaders of today, the Jewish establishment leaders of today, are the biggest disaster we have and the most serious threat to our survival, the unwillingness to say that, or the fact that they don't recognize that, if anyone doesn't recognize that, they don't recognize the reality, in my opinion. We want to replace Jewish leaders. We want them out. We want the Jewish establishment out. We want to do it peacefully. We want to do it legally, but we want them out. That is what we need if we want to save the Jewish people, in my opinion. Again, AFSI, Americans for Safe Israel, they call themselves AFSI. They're not bad Jews. I have nothing against them, certainly on a personal level. In fact, I'm friends with some of them. So they're certainly not bad people, but I think we have to say, and I don't think it's so radical to say, we have bad leaders and they have to go. And we need new leaders. All of them. I mean, they stink. Our leaders stink. I'm talking about in the Jewish community. In America and in Israel. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to the great Dr. Dan, who is the voice of reason, common sense, and logic. Dr. Dan writes, would it have been moral in the war for independence and Yom Kippur war, the Israelis do to their enemies what they set out to do to us if they had won, unquote. It would have been moral, but the Jews don't want to do that. The Jews aren't willing to do that. Even if I were prime minister, we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to go and kill all the Arabs that want to kill us. The millions of Arabs live in the land of Israel. They'd like to kill us. They'd like to slaughter us. Is it moral to kill those who want to kill you? Who unjustly want to kill you? It is. And that is the Jewish way. But even if I were prime minister, we wouldn't be able to do it. because I'm telling you, the Jewish people would not go along with it. So the most we could do is just begin an aggressive campaign to persuade them to leave. That's the only thing the Jewish people would support. Thank you, Dr. Dan. That's a great question. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, Governor Corbett won't appeal the ruling legalizing fag marriage in Pennsylvania. The judge made his ruling on primary election day. Do you think that he did that on purpose on that day and in an election year because Corbett is afraid of losing votes from pro-fag groups? Unquote. I don't know. I think Corbett is afraid of losing votes from homosexual groups, and not just the homosexual groups, just all the insane people who think that this is a so-called civil right now. You can't make a civil right out of a moral wrong. You can't. It is not a civil right to engage in unnatural, abominable behavior that leads to death spiritually and physically. The homosexual lifestyle is a lifestyle of death. It's a lifestyle of self-destruction. And you can't make a civil right out of this moral wrong. Governor Corbett is sort of on the fence. He doesn't know what to do. On the one hand, he doesn't want to turn off the conservative Catholics and the other conservative voters that are part of his base, because he is a Republican. But at the same time, he also doesn't want to turn off the other people in the Philadelphia suburbs. You have people living in the Philly suburbs who feel, oh, it's a civil right. You have to do it. You have to. He doesn't want to turn them off either. So he has a problem. Unfortunately, Binyamin, I think Governor Corbett is in a lot of trouble. I do think we have to support him because his opponent is so bad. Tom Wolf, who is his left-wing Democrat opponent, is a self-hating Judenrat Kapo Jew. The worst type of Jew. The worst type. And it will be a terrible Chilul Hashem if Tom Wolf becomes governor. And according to the polls, he has an overwhelming lead right now. So that's very bad news. That's very bad news. So we have to support Governor Corbett. I don't think we have any choice. Binyamin now writes, on a related note, the fags were at the Israel Day parade, again wearing kippot and tzitzit with Jewish LGBT community shirts and Israeli flags mixed with the fag rainbow symbol, the ultimate example of a Chilul Hashem, unquote. Absolutely right. It is a disgrace. They're allowed to do this. I mean, it's just so disgusting. So disgusting. Anybody who supports this type of abomination is betraying the Jewish people and betraying Judaism. God says it's a toeva, it's an abomination. And God has destroyed entire civilizations because of this behavior. So anybody who does this is fighting with God and fighting against God, which I don't think is very wise. I think if you fight with God, you're certainly going to, in the end, you're going to lose. But these insane people, these insane, sick people, continue with their abominable behavior, and the Jewish establishment welcomes them. The Jewish establishment, which never gave JDL a permit to march or the right to march, you know, JDL went in and marched anyway. But they were never granted the right to march. They were never included as an official part of the march by the Jewish establishment beasts who run the parade. But these same beasts gladly, with open arms, welcome organizations that are destroying souls, that are destroying people's souls. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, and we have to stand against it because no one else will. Thank you, Binyamin. And we now go to the great Italian Zionist. To clarify my Ask JTF question, in 1983, Toivi Blatt, Sobibor survivor, visited Karl Frenzel, a German who had been third in command at Sobibor, unquote. I think it's horrific, an abomination. He's visiting and schmoozing with someone who was involved in a Nazi mass murder camp? Someone who slaughtered Jews in Sobibor? Who was third in command in a Nazi concentration camp where they slaughtered Jewish people, and he's interviewing him and schmoozing with him? And he's a survivor? Disgusting. Disgusting beyond all words. You know, some of these people that do these things, when they do these things, I wonder how some of these types of people, some of them, I wonder how they survived. I wonder what they did to survive. Because, you know, some of the Jews who survived, and I don't know what this guy did, I don't know. But there were people who survived by shoving other Jews in the ovens and by helping the Germans. That's how they survived. And I have to wonder about some of these traitors, how they survived. Because they continue to commit the worst types of treason. Thank you, Italian Zionist. And we now go to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, what kind of air conditioning do you recommend for Roger Waters after he will take his last breath, unquote. After he takes his last breath, Da Vinci, he's not going to have any air conditioning. Where he's going, they don't have any air conditioning. Roger Waters, for people who don't know, is part of the Jew-hating Pink Floyd band. This is such a Nazi Jew-hating band that even the Anti-Defamation League and the Simon Wiesenthal Center, even they said that Roger Waters is anti-Semitic. And they themselves are anti-Semites. They say, nobody's anti-Semitic. Obama, no, he's a friend of Israel. They excuse everybody. But this guy is such a vicious Jew-hater that even the ADL and the Simon Wiesenthal Center called him anti-Semitic. This is a guy who released pig-shaped balloons with the Star of David on them. This is a guy who always compares Israel to Nazi Germany. He doesn't compare the Arab Muslims, who openly say they're proud to be Nazis, who give the Sieg Heil salute, and who promise and swear that they're going to perpetrate a Holocaust and push the Jews into the sea and finish Hitler's job. That's what the Arab Muslim Nazis say all the time. They say they're Nazis, but he would never call them Nazis. No. The Jews, surrounded, outnumbered, fighting for their survival against all odds, after they already were the victims of a Holocaust, because of Roger Waters and people like him in Europe, there was a Holocaust. And he compares the Jews to the Nazis and defends the Arab Muslim Nazis, the real Nazis. He is as vicious a Jew hater as you can get. And he will not get any air conditioning. He will suffer and be punished for eternity. That's what he deserves. Thank you, because that's what he wants to impose upon innocent Jews just because he hates the Jewish people. Everything he wants to do to the Jewish people is going to happen to him. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we now go to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, is Nafrodi Bennett part of the NWO, unquote? Okay. Lewinsky Stinks is referring, of course, to Naftali Bennett. And the NWO is the New World Order. I don't believe that there's an official, you have an official membership card in the NWO. But I do believe that you understand, there's like an unwritten understanding that you can only take certain positions, and you're not allowed to take certain positions that go outside the framework of what's allowed and what's politically correct. And Naftali Bennett is part of that. Naftali Bennett is part of the politically correct establishment. And what he advocates is terrible for Israel. He advocates surrendering areas B and C, or areas A and B, A, B, C, whatever. He advocates surrendering huge chunks of Judea and Samaria. And then he says, we'll gradually annex other parts. By the time he's finished gradually annexing, the Arabs are going to take over everything. He is such a full of baloney wimp. And such an opportunist, such a phony. He's part of Netanyahu's government. He says he's against releasing the terrorists, but he sits in the government and supports Netanyahu's government that has released thousands of terrorists. He's against freezing Jewish settlements, Jewish building, but he sits in the government which for years now has been freezing Jewish settlements and Jewish building. He says he's against creating a Palestinian state, but he sits in a government that says its goal is to create a so-called Palestinian state, which is national suicide for Israel. In other words, money talks. He and his institutions, the institutions he represents, they get government money. And so he'll sit in the government and support things that he says he's against and that all the people who support him say they're against. But for, in exchange for the money, they'll support this government that's nevertheless moving Israel in that disastrous direction. So that's what he represents. He's an opportunist and a phony. And he's very dangerous for Israel. We have to replace him. We have to have a real right-wing alternative and a real right-wing opposition. That's why it's so essential that we become a mass movement. We should be replacing him. We, the so-called opposition to Netanyahu is completely fake. We need a real opposition. If that happened, Israel would be much stronger and in much better shape. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, discuss how Kahanism would have handled the Turk flotilla of 4 years ago, unquote. We would have sunk all the ships. We would sink all of the ships. If there are ships trying to break a blockade against terrorists, they're assisting the terrorists. They're assisting those that want to exterminate the Jewish people and that commit acts of terrorism against the Jewish people. We would sink them. Anybody trying to bring anything in to assist the Hamas terrorists or any other terrorists, if they try to break blockades, we should immediately sink the ship, not endanger Israeli soldiers and have them board the ships and be nice and give people warnings. No warnings, nothing. You want to come? No problem. We're going to sink the ship. We're going to, the sharks, we're humanitarian. We're going to give the sharks a meal. And believe me, that would be the end of the flotillas if that happened. That would be the end of all, you'd never see all these people wanting to do flotillas again. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, will we have a pedophile history month, unquote? We already do. We have gay history month. The so-called gays support pedophilia. They have NAMBLA and these organizations that support pedophilia. It's just a fact of life. Now you have the gays, some of them will deny that they support pedophilia. But the reality is that they do support it. That's the reality. They support it and they promote it. We have all these homosexuals who want to be teachers and scoutmasters and want to have control over our children, God forbid. I don't know how any parent could trust them. This is insane. It's just insane. So I think we already have a pedophile history month. Will we have one that officially calls itself the Pedophile History Month? I think we'll get to that. In certain European countries, pedophilia already is perfectly legal. There's no problem with it. Unbelievable. God help us. God have mercy on us. God help us. God shouldn't have mercy on the evil people, but God should have mercy on us because all of us are suffering because of the evil people, because of the evil deeds that they do, and God should have mercy on the righteous. He should have pity on the righteous. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to the great Yimach Shmo Rejabnik, who writes, and I quote, before 1967, France was not, if the most pro-Israel, was not, was if not the most pro-Israel nation. I'm sorry. Before 1967, France was, if not the most pro-Israel nation, discussed their betrayal of Israel in favor of Arabs. Did God curse them with blacks and Muslims? Unquote. That's very true. What happened was, it started in 1948. The British were arming the Arabs and tried to help the Arabs destroy Israel when Israel was created in 1948. And so because of the French rivalry with the British, after the 1948 War of Independence, after Israel's War of Independence, the French formed an alliance with Israel and would send Israel, would sell Israel weapons, and they had an alliance, a sort of an alliance. But of course, in the 1967 war, they betrayed Israel, and God is certainly is cursing them and punishing them. France is a mess. France is a disaster area today. It's a nightmare. Yes, the Africans, the Muslims, all the Arabs, all the groups that are there. It's a nightmare. Europe in general is becoming one big nightmare. And this is just the beginning of the punishment for all the terrible things they did to the Jewish people for 2,000 years and have never stopped doing. You go, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's a solid, absolute law. It is an absolute, it's God's law. And these so-called sophisticated Europeans, they mock and laugh at that law. Ah. They're in for a very, very rude awakening. Thank you, Yamach Shmo to Jomnik. And we now go to the great Mensch, who writes, and I quote, one, comment on B. Gantz's speech on Third Lebanon War and Hezbollah threat, unquote. I actually didn't see Gantz's speech on a Third Lebanon War or Hezbollah threat. By the way, Benny Gantz is the IDF chief of staff. He's the chief of staff of the Israeli army. But I do know that Gantz has supported every evil Israeli government action, the expulsions, the freeing of thousands of Muslim terrorists, supports a Palestinian state and national suicide. He's always making statements in the Israeli media, if we don't have a peace process, it's going to be very bad. We must have, in other words, it's the Israeli leaders, they're not doing enough harm in his opinion. He pressures them publicly to do even more harm. Meanwhile, he's the head of the IDF, chief of staff of the IDF, an IDF that's allowing Iran to build nuclear bombs and threaten Israel with a nuclear holocaust. Some chief of staff. If there's going to be a third Lebanon war and a Hezbollah threat, it's because of people like him. It's because of people like him who have destroyed the Israeli army, who don't allow Israeli soldiers to defend themselves, who allow Iran, the real bosses of Hezbollah, to build nuclear bombs. That's why we have a threat. And who have allowed Hezbollah also to develop thousands and thousands of these missiles that they have in Lebanon, which is a real threat. It's because of people like him that this threat is developing. And so he'll issue a warning so that when the problem comes, he'll be able to say, oh, you see, I warned you. Oh, come on. He's not part of the solution. He's part of the problem. Yes, there is a big threat from Hezbollah. Of course there is. Of course there is. The only answer is to have an Israeli army that will go into Lebanon this time without being concerned about Arab Nazi civilians and go in and slaughter the Hezbollah terrorists, wipe them out, and destroy all of the missiles and all of the other weaponry that they have that's aimed at Israel. That's what the Israeli army should be doing. That's what should be done. And Israel could do it. No question they could do it. If only they had the will. And if only they had real Jewish leaders. Mensch now writes, too, comment on idiotic proposal from Danny Dayan about free movement for Palestinians, unquote. Danny Dayan. This is a Yesher Council traitor who betrayed the Jews in Gush Katif. He was one of the people who told the Jews in Gush Katif, don't worry, we're going to resist. You do what we say. You follow us around and we're going to go there and we're going to block with our bodies. We're going to block the expulsion with our bodies. We're going to go there and tens of thousands of us will block with our bodies the expulsion of the Jews from Gush Katif, which if they had done that, they could have stopped Gush Katif. But he lied. He had no intention of doing that. He deliberately lied and tricked the Jews, the stupid Jews that listened, the stupid Jews in Judea and Samaria that listened to the Yeshua Council, and that unfortunately was the vast majority of Jews there. We warned them that this was going to happen. We warned them that the Yeshua Council is lying to them and playing with them, and that the Yeshua Council works with the establishment. The Yeshua Council is funded by the establishment, funded by the Israeli government. We warned them, but they didn't listen to us. He and the Yeshua Council are part of the establishment leadership that must go. They've got to go. If we want to survive, they must go. We've got to get them out of those positions and replace them with real, loyal, faithful Jews. And now he's proposing what he calls free movement for so-called Palestinians. I would give them free movement out of Israel. that's the only free movement they would get. And believe me, if I'm in power, they'll take me up on it. They will leave. Believe me, they won't want to stay. If we're in power, I can assure you, they won't want to stay. I can assure you. Thank you, Mensch. And we now go to the great Kahana loyalist who writes, and I quote, Techayim, is Noam Federman doing anything about the situation with David HaMelech's kever, unquote. Okay, the grave of David HaMelech, of course, was handed over to the Vatican, which is a terrible thing. This is a very sacred Jewish site. The Vatican has no right to take this away from the Jewish people in the middle of Jerusalem. I don't know what Noam Federman is doing about that. I don't know if he's doing anything about it, but Kahana loyalist Noam Federman is a Jewish hero. He is a very good Jew. He's a Jewish hero. About this particular issue, I don't know. I honestly don't know what he's doing. I have not been in touch with Noam for quite a while now. I haven't been in touch. We used to help him, and we were involved with him. I can't go into all the details. I'm not in touch with him now for a while. But he is a Jewish hero, and he's a very, very good Jew. If he's not doing something about this, then he is at least, I'm sure he's trying to do his best on other issues. I don't know. Maybe he's working on this as well. I don't know. But he is certainly, Noam Federman certainly is a real Jewish hero. He is, and his wife is, and his children are, and his whole family is. Those are real role models for the Jewish people, the Federman family. May Hashem bless them, and we should pray for them. They are real role models. They're great Jewish heroes. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And we go now to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, what do you think about the Heter Iska? Is it valid, invalid, or bediavad? Unquote. Okay, Heter Iska is allowing people to charge interest, because you're not allowed to charge ribit, interest. And so Heter Iska means, though, if you're doing a business deal, if it's a straight business deal, you are allowed, because it's not really making a loan to assist your fellow Jews. It's not that type of thing. It's actually a business deal. I think the rabbis are right. I think that it is valid. I know that there's a machloket. I know there's some rabbis that object. But no, I think it is valid. And we have to have it, Tag Mechir. We have to have it in order to have a modern functioning economy. Of course we want Torah. We want a Torah economy. Of course we want a Torah economy. But the Torah gives us a certain amount of flexibility. The Torah does give us that. And of course we don't only have Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. We have Torah Shebealpeh. Torah Shebealpeh, the oral Torah, is something that we also go by, and there sometimes is flexibility in some of these things, and it's very important for the Jewish people. We have to have a modern economy. We have to be able to support Israel economically in order to survive. We can't survive without a modern economy. So I think it is valid. Anyway, Tag Mechir now writes, talk about the banking system in general and what you would change if possible, unquote. Well, what I would want to change in the banking system and in business in general in Israel is I want Jews on every level. And I know this is very idealistic, but this is our dream. I want Jews on every level to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. I want Jews to succeed in business tremendously and do so being a moral force, showing that, you see, you can be moral and you can be kind and you can be generous and you can be righteous and you can be principled and you still can succeed and have prosperity and achieve great things. This is our challenge as a people. I want to prove to the nations of the world that being truly moral is not a disadvantage, but an advantage. And that it will eventually give us great blessings and Hashem will bless us, whether it's the banking system or any system. I don't want a banking system or big business in Israel that wants to do that makes deals with the devil just to make an extra profit, because that's what you have now. You have the business people in Israel now, they'll, like business people in America or anywhere, the big business people, they'll deal with the devil. They'll deal with anybody just to make profit, just to make another buck. And so these big business interests are always pushing Bibi to make concessions and surrender because they want to have trade with Muslim countries, which is a joke. It's a complete fantasy. They're not going to have it anyway. And they want to have all of these, and they want to have trade with the European Union. And so they're willing to sell out the land of Israel, the people of Israel, everything, so they could get another little deal somewhere in Germany. I want a Jewish people that doesn't do that. I want a Jewish people that is willing to be prosperous, that wants to be prosperous and wants to succeed and wants a free market and wants competition, but never at the expense of our Jewish principles. When we become a people like that, a people with principles and love and devotion to truth and justice and morality, we will prosper more than ever in history. God will bless us and we will prosper more than ever in history. But convincing people of that is not easy. But it will come true. It will come true if we become a moral people and a great people. And we have to begin the campaign of educating the Jewish people about how that has to be done to make us Or La'amim, a light unto the nations. Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. Am Nivchar, a chosen people, that shows the whole world that morals and righteousness and decency are not the enemies of success. But in reality, in the end, in the long run, you'll have the greatest success when you do the right thing. That's what we want to set out to prove. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss the revisionist history opera, The Death of Klinghoffer, and the Metropolitan Opera plans for 8 performances and HD broadcasts, unquote. Well, this is a typical example of the unbelievable anti-Semitism, the vile, malicious Jew hatred that we have in our society today. Leon Klinghoffer was a Jew in a wheelchair who was brutally murdered by the PLO terrorists, ordered to do so by the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshem Yirkav. I mean, he was shot to death, and thrown overboard on the Achille Lauro, which was a ship. And after this brutal, barbaric act, these people are now doing an opera explaining why the so-called Palestinians, you have to understand why they do what they do and their reasons for it. We have to understand their reasons. There are no Palestinians. They have no history. There will be, by the way, if God forbid Israel ever disappeared, the Palestinian people would disappear overnight. They only use this. They only use this to try to destroy the Jewish people. There was no Palestinian people before the creation of Israel. There was no Palestinian people before the 1967 Six-Day War. And if Israel weren't there, there'd be no Palestinian people today. This is all the biggest scam in history. And look at this now. Look, this shows you the so-called cultured people. And how I love tear gassing Lincoln Center and showing these pigs, giving these pigs what they deserve. How I love doing that in the 1980s when they were allowing the Soviet oppressors of our brothers and sisters to perform there and didn't care about what they did to Jews and sent Jews to Siberia and were torturing Jews in Siberia, and they didn't care about that. How I love giving it to them. They lost, by the way, huge amounts of money when we did that to them. I mean, we really screwed them good. And they deserve much worse than that. But these people who love culture, supposedly they're so cultural, the people who love Wagner and love culture, and would sit around listening to Wagner while Jews are burning in the ovens and the gas chambers. That's the mentality here. About 24 opera companies, leading opera companies in the United States and Europe, are involved in this opera where they're justifying the murder of a Jew in a wheelchair and explaining why they're Palestinians and after all they're... And with all types of anti-Semitic stereotypes and just... I mean, this is a Nazi production. And 2 leading opera companies, some of whom have prominent Jewish employees and Jews involved with them, they're all gung-ho about this. They think this is wonderful. Look at what we're facing. Look at what we're up against. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram to all the beasts that are involved in this. May what happened to Klinghoffer happen to them in this world and in the next. Amen. Thank you, EB22. And now we go to the great mind Quran, who writes, and I quote, discuss ISIS gains in Iraq and its implications in ISIS kidnapping of three Jewish teens should Israel perform strikes against ISIS, unquote. Okay. Well, the gains they're making in Iraq, the Sunnis in Iraq are turning to them, and the Sunnis in Iraq support Al-Qaeda. I mean, they're supporting Al-Qaeda now. And the Shiites support Iran and support the Ayatollahs in Iran, and the Sunnis support Al-Qaeda. Isn't that a great choice we have? We can choose between the Ayatollahs in Iran and Al-Qaeda, and the Sunni Al-Qaeda supporters. It's a wonderful choice. Anyone who touches Jews, innocent Jews, should pay a price. The people involved in the kidnapping are not from Iraq or Syria. The people involved in the kidnapping live in the land of Israel. They should be punished. They may identify, they may agree with and support these Al-Qaeda terrorists, Al-Qaeda affiliated terrorists in Iraq and Syria, but they're not from Iraq or Syria. And so Israel should severely punish, severely punish all of the Arabs in the land of Israel that are in any way involved in this type of terrorist activity. Anyone who lifts a finger against Jews, Israel has a responsibility to punish them severely. That's the only language they understand, and that is what they should get. That's the language they should get. As far as the gains of the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq, I think Iraq is going to be dismembered. I think that you have a Sunni state being created, a Shiite state being created, a Kurdish state being created. Now, they can't get along. They don't get along with each other, and even within those states, they're all going to be killing each other constantly. That's the Muslim world. That's what the Muslim world is all about. And all, and you know, it's not just with Obama. Everybody's blaming Obama for what's happening in Iraq, and he is responsible in many ways. But so is Bush. The whole thing, the whole American policy is insane. Just insane. Just insane. The United States should have destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, should have ended its dependence on foreign oil, and destroyed oil as a valuable commodity in the world. That would have crippled all of these groups. All of these movements could not exist without oil, without massive petrodollar support, without all the oil money. The Arab world, the Muslim world, would be a wasteland without the oil. But instead of pursuing true energy independence policies, every administration has continued to keep America and the West slavishly addicted to Muslim oil. That's one of the fundamental problems. Thank you, Mein Quran. And we now go to the great spiraling leopard. Shalom Chaim, should Yossi Sarid die of cancer? Unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yossi Sarid is the worst example of a Jewish anti-Semite you could find. The most vicious supporter of all the enemies of the Jewish people. Just a vicious Jew hater, a Jewish Jew hater in every sense of the word. He was a member of the Knesset. And by the way, our great leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, said, Yossi Sarid, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. He said that. Rabbi Kahana used to say Yimach Shmo to Yossi Sarid. He was always a traitor. He'll always be a traitor. He supports all of the enemies of the Jewish people. And this is a Jew who supports those who want to destroy his own people. How could anything get sicker and more evil than that? He deserves it, everything that he wants to do to the good, heroic Jews in Judea and Samaria, to the good, heroic Jews who supported Rabbi Kahana. All the terrible things that he wants to see happen to them should happen to him and the self-hating Judenrat kapos like him. Thank you, Spiraling Leopard. And we now go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, Shalom Chaim, can you tell us about the Arab Legion that was led by British officers and that the British are still helping Arab groups like ISIS, unquote. I don't think they're helping ISIS, but I don't know, maybe there is some way indirectly that they are. But the British have always had a hand, certainly in helping Arabs that want to destroy Israel, that's for sure. Always had a hand in that. In fact, the Arab Legion was the Jordanian army. It was called the Arab Legion. They called themselves the Arab Legion, but it was actually the Jordanian army. And they invaded Israel and promised, and they were going to exterminate the Jewish people. And their commander was not an Arab, but was a British officer, Sir John Glubb. They called him Glubb Pasha, the Arabs. He was the commander of an Arab army that invaded the state of Israel. They had British officers commanding them as they were invading the state of Israel on the first day Israel came into existence in 1948. This is 3 years after the Holocaust. And the Arabs are promising they're going to perpetrate another Holocaust. And the British are helping them, and the British officers are the commanders of their army. How can it get worse than that? How can it get worse than that? It's disgusting beyond words. And Britain is paying a real price today. They're paying a terrible price. It's just the beginning, though. Just the beginning. Thank you, Maimonides. And we now go to the great Mishmat, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, may you comment on the death of our good friend, quote-unquote, Casey Kasem, unquote. Oh, Casey Kasem. You know, he's actually a Lebanese Druze. I don't know if people Mishmat know who Casey Kasem is in this generation. When I was a kid, he was famous. He's a Lebanese Druze, which shows, you know, all the Israelis will say, oh, the Druze, they're okay, they're not our enemies. This guy is such a vicious Jew hater. Supported all the Jew haters, all those that want to destroy Israel and destroy the Jewish people. He supported all the Muslim terrorist front groups, the Arab American Institute. He supported all the Muslim terrorist front groups. And he supported Jesse Jackson for president twice, 1984, 1988. He wanted Jesse Jackson to become president of the United States. Jesse Jackson, who had what he called the sacred covenant with Louis Farrakhan, who said that all whites are devils and that Judaism's a gutter religion and that Hitler was a great man. And Jesse Jackson, Farrakhan's open friend and supporter, should have become president of the United States, according to Casey Kasem. And then he supported Ralph Nader, the Arab Jew hater who was called for the destruction of Israel. He supported him for president. Casey Kasem was a vicious Jew hater, a Lebanese Druze Jew hater. Thank God that he's gone. Unfortunately, he lived too long. Thank you, Mishmat. And we now go to our great friend, the Maknik, who writes, was Iraq better off with Saddam Hussein in power? Unquote. I don't know about Iraq, but I know that we were. When Saddam Hussein was in power, there was a check on Iran's power, on Iran's border. And the situation was actually better in the Middle East when Saddam Hussein was in power. The only thing the Arabs understand is brute force. A brutal, murderous dictator. That's the only thing they understand. You say we're going to have democracy in the Arab world. It leads to bloodshed and chaos and anarchy and mass murder. It's just, you have to have a brutal, murderous dictator in power to control them. Saddam Hussein did that. Now that he's gone, you see all the problems that are coming out. Thank you, Imaknik. And we now go to the great Ephraim ben Noach, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, could you talk about the Iraq situation? Should the U.S. or Israel help either side, Shiite or versus Sunni, unquote? I don't think so. I think the United States and Israel should stay out of it. I think the United States and Israel should destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That's where our problem is. But I think we should stay out of the Iraqi civil war. I don't think that that's an area where where American or Jewish soldiers or Israeli soldiers should be involved. Thank you, Ephraim. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.